For some reason, I've always loved conspiracy theories. It's a guilty pleasure of mine. Even the ones that are totally unbelievable, I find fascinating. And I'm not alone. People have looked to conspiracies throughout history for some reason or another for centuries. Just ask around about 9/11 or JFK's assassination. Chances are you'll get at least a few earfuls about secret plots and hidden government organizations. What I've always found interesting about conspiracy theories is the influence and power they hold. And this goes both ways. Sometimes for good, sometimes for evil. We don't exactly know when the first conspiracies took root, but examples aren't hard to find if you look back at the beginnings of organized government and religion. Now, one of the oldest themes in conspiracies is this idea of a hidden elite, one that controls and manipulates from outside or above. Now, there are dozens of names for this group. A few favorites are the Illuminati or a New World Order. This idea is perhaps one of the oldest perpetuated conspiracies. But what you might not know is that its origins are dark, gruesome, and anti-Semitic. I'm Brian Fry, and this is Conspiracy 51. About 100 miles northeast of London lies the city of Norwich. And like many European cities, it's very old and has witnessed countless tragedies. The year was 1144, and a young Anglo-Saxon boy named William was found dead in Thorpe Wood, outside of Norwich. Now, there was nothing remarkable about the boy's life. We know he was an apprentice to a skinner or tanner, and we know he was of Anglo-Saxon birth in a densely Christian community. But his death would ignite a firestorm of controversy and conspiracy that would last for, well, centuries. You see, William was found with injuries that suggested a violent death, and some claim he was last seen entering the home of a local Jew. You might see where this is going. The Jews of Norwich were new to the area. In fact, they'd only established themselves 9 years before William's death. They were a French-speaking community and closely associated with the Norman aristocracy. This association or protection from the aristocracy was a common theme in many English towns, and it caused tension among Christian groups. William's death was a mystery, but it didn't take long for rumors to spread that the local Jews were responsible. Whispers of kidnappings and cultish sacrifices began to spread. Soon, the Christian community was calling for justice, and Jews were asked to attend a religious court. These Christian courts were common in the Middle Ages, and they held immense power. But when the local sheriff, John de Chesney, investigated the case, he found no evidence that the Jews were responsible. And even then, since it was a Christian court, it had no power over the Jews. And then John did something that likely angered the accusers. He took the Jews into protection within the castle. For a time, it would seem that tensions were dying. But slowly, something strange was at work. William's body, originally buried in a monk's cemetery, was exhumed and transferred within the church by the local clergy. They began telling stories of William's death. As the legend grew, so did the believers. This cult-like group of Christians had created their own martyr. At this same time, a monk from Monmouth named Thomas arrived in Norwich and decided to investigate William's death. His findings were published as The Life and Miracles of St. William of Norwich, and they were shocking. Thomas had spoken with Christian witnesses and converted Jews. To him, it was apparent that not only had the Jews murdered William, but that there was a larger conspiracy at play. A Theobald of Cambridge, who identified as a Jewish convert, was perhaps the most influential contributor. He spoke of a hidden prophecy that if Jews sacrificed a Christian child each year, they would regain control of Israel. According to him, the Jews of Norwich were tasked with such a sacrifice in 1144. They had apparently murdered William in a similar manner to the crucifixion of Jesus. These stories spread and struck terror in not just Norwich, but many surrounding communities. Churches began depicting William as a martyr, and shrines were erected. This was the start of the so-called blood libel, an accusation that Jews murdered Christian children for their blood as part of a holiday ritual. Now, this might sound crazy to us now, but this was a time when Christianity wasn't questioned. I can only imagine how it would have felt to be a Jew in medieval Europe. Attitudes towards the Jewish population turned increasingly sour and violent. At the coronation of Richard I in 1189, crowds began attacking Jewish attendees. Rumors soon spread that the king had ordered that all Jews be massacred. And sadly, many were. First at London and York, then throughout the rest of England. Christians turned on their Jewish neighbors, setting their houses ablaze and driving them out of the cities. Eventually, during the reign of King Edward, Jews were expelled altogether from England in 1290. This expulsion remained in place throughout the Middle Ages until 1655. Sadly, feelings of anti-Semitism lived on and the idea of a Jewish conspiracy continued to grow. In the early 20th century, a booklet was published that would become the basis for many modern conspiracies of a Jewish elite. It was called The Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. It detailed a Jewish quest for world domination through control of the media, banking systems, and the government. Even back then, it was recognized as a hoax, but that didn't stop its ideas from inspiring Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. I think you know the rest of that story. These feelings of anti-Semitism are still alive today. There's still those who believe in a vast Jewish conspiracy, who point to centuries of evidence that all link back to the death of a Christian boy named William. What these people don't recognize is that it was the Christians, not the Jews, who did control much of the world and continue to do so. But their control wasn't hidden. It wasn't a vast conspiracy. It was blatantly obvious through crusades and centuries of religious persecution. Sometimes, it's easier to believe in something hidden than that which is right in front of us. I hope you enjoyed this first episode of Conspiracy 51. I'm still not exactly sure where I'm going to take this show, but I'd like to start doing a regular series of podcasts. If you're like me, then I know you're thirsty for more, and believe me, there will be more. I'm going to cover everything here from famous events to aliens, with plenty of creature features in between. If you're interested in more episodes like this one, head to my website, conspiracy51.com.